Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. 34 after the hour. Thanks for hanging around with me. It's my pleasure to be part of your day, and I know it's like a dream come true for you to be part of mine, isn't it? My website is www.jbsba.com, and when you get there, be sure to subscribe to my free newsletter. Don't forget to check out the over 2,000 articles. I mean archives, not articles, but archives. But we have hundreds and hundreds of articles that you can read, the archives you can listen to. And these are visits that we've had with people like our guest this half hour, Ivan Meisner. A bunch of them are there of interviews that we've had with and visits we've had with Ivan. But these are shows that we've done that have been cut out just for that guest. And no commercials, just the facts, ma'am, as they say. And so I encourage you to check that out when you get a chance. All you need to do is have Real Player. And if you don't have it on your computer, we have a place there on the site where you can get it for free. Just download it for free and use the free version. And listen to your little heart's content. It's all on demand, except for the live show, which is on the website there. That's obviously just when we're live, but then we have the replay and all the other stuff there. It's a little bit of small business heaven, and hope you'll check it out at jbsba.com. Ivan Meisner is our guest. Dr. Ivan Meisner is the world's expert on networking. He's the president and the founder of Business Network International. He's the author of a number of books, including the newest book, which he is a co-author of, Masters of Success. He's our good friend. Ivan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. It's great to be on.
It's good to have you back, as always. And congratulations again on the bestseller, Masters of Success. Another bestseller for you. That's a great story.
Thanks. It's doing well. We're out on the road doing the book tour thing.
It's actually selling well worldwide, isn't it? Not just in the United States.
Yes. Yeah. Although it made number one on the Wall Street Journal bestsellers list.
Yeah. Good for you. Well done. Speaking of the book, and one of the things that we've been doing in the last couple of visits, Ivan, is talking about some of the things that were highlighted in the book, Masters of Success, and some of the things that the people who contributed to the book, some of the authors that contributed to the book said about different elements of being in the marketplace, of being a human being, and about how they felt about success. One of the things that they wrote about was about failure, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. Failure and dealing with adversity.
You know, people might think, well, why would failure be in a success book? But, you know, Ivan, you've heard me say this before probably. I know my audience has. I say that failure is the harness made of success.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I think you learn more from your failures than you do your successes.
And the reason I think that you're right is because when we succeed, when we knock it out of the park, we're ready for the party. We're ready for the winner's circle because we obviously think we've done this because we're so smart. We're so good.
Yeah.
And we don't learn anything when we go right to the party, do we?
No, we don't. And I think there's a sense from many people that really successful individuals have little failure or have had little failure in their life. And that's not true. It generally is not true.
Well, exactly. In fact, I say that you really can't know success and you can't really have true success, in my opinion, until you have failed at least once.
Yeah. Harvey McKay contributed a piece to Masters of Success that I think is outstanding. And he talks about a lot of failures and people that you would know, and he talks about some of the failures that they've had, which are really quite surprising. Things like Dr. Seuss, whose first children's book was rejected by 23 publishers.
Right.
and do you know what his first book was?
What?
It was A Cat in the Hat.
Oh yeah, of course.
And The Cat in the Hat was rejected by 23 publishers.
How many billion copies is that sold now?
And in how many languages?
Exactly.
That's truly amazing.
It's probably Michael in a Jordan, time capsule on the way to Jupiter or something like that.
It might be. Michael Jordan, the basketball great, was actually cut from his high school basketball team for not being good enough.
You know,
Henry Ford, I don't know if you know this, it went bankrupt twice in his first 3 years of business.
Mm-hmm. He didn't invent a successful system to build an automobile until he was 51 years old, having tried many times. He was 51,
Here's my favorite one. University of Bern actually rejected Albert Einstein's PhD dissertation, saying it was irrelevant.
I haven't heard that one. But you know,
I've been some humor in the fact that the man who created the theory of relativity was told that his theory was irrelevant.
Well, isn't that a great story? Well, I'll tell you, there's another person that I know about some of his ignominy before he became successful, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But it's a guy who inspires me, and whenever I need a little bit of a lift, I go back and read about his failures, and it helps me out. 20 till. We'll be right back with our good friend Ivan Meisner. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, we've got Jeffrey Zabar, who's one of our home-based business experts. He's going to be joining us to talk to us about that issue, home-based and teleworking as well. And then we're going to have another great visit with our good friend Steve Forbes. You know who Steve is, former presidential candidate and the president of Forbes and the editor-in-chief of the Forbes magazine, and he's become a good friend of ours over the years, and we're going to be looking forward to getting him back on the show. And then, of course, Joan Pryde, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and that's all in the show straight ahead. Ivan Meisner is with us. Dr. Ivan Meisner, the president of Business Network International, is our guest. And Ivan, tell us a little bit about BNI.
BNI is a business organization that allows only one person per profession to join one of our chapters. So it has a lawyer, a CPA, a financial planner, a banker. They get together every week and they pass each other referrals. We now have just a little under 3,300 chapters in 18 countries around the world. The number keeps changing every time we talk, doesn't it?
And boy, it's really grown substantially since you've started being on my show too, hasn't it, Ivan?
Isn't that amazing?
I think
there may be a direct correlation.
What do you mean you think?
I'm sorry. There definitely is a direct correlation.
What'd you say, 17, 18 countries?
18 countries now.
18 countries, yeah. All over the...
Yeah, I'm headed to one of them next week, headed to South Africa.
Oh, man. Well, have fun, and be sure to dodge the tsetse flies while you're over there.
I will do that.
I probably shouldn't have said that. I know some people from South Africa. It's a beautiful part of the world. Ivan, let's get back into the... by the way, folks, you can find out if you want to join a BNI organization, which is one probably in your area, if you can, on your website, Ivan, they can find out where the local branches are, can't they, the local organizations.
Yeah, go to BNI.com. On the left-hand side, you'll see directory. Click on that, and it'll give you all of the countries that we are in or going to, and you can click on that and then find your local director to see if there's an available chapter. I will tell you, we just trained someone last week for the last state in the U.S., Alaska, which is the only state we didn't have any chapters in. So
good for you. So all 50 states.
We're now in all 50 states.
Good for you. Well done. And so, and folks, if you don't find one near you, you might want to look into starting one. You can find out about that there at BNI.com as well. We're talking about how failure is, as I say, is the harness made of success. And Ivan, you had a couple of more examples, and I have one. I have a couple too of just people that we know, folks, that when you think of them, the first thing you think about is resounding, outrageous, mega success, perhaps. And, but yet, it wasn't always so, was it, Ivan?
No, that's correct. The next one I was going to share with you is Richard Hooker, the author of MASH. He actually had his novel rejected by 21 publishers before it was accepted. And, of course, MASH ended up not only becoming a big hit book, but a huge movie, and then a television series that lasted 10 years, yet the first 21 publishers who looked at it rejected it. Of course, there are probably 21... unemployed publishers now, but
they're probably all those guys are probably homeless now.
Yeah, they probably are. Here's my favorite one of all time: Coca-Cola, the Coca-Cola Company, in its first 12 months of operation, sold in its first year of operation, sold only 400 sodas.
Wow!
And they had cocaine in it.
You're right. It really was coca, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. They had a little trace amounts of cocaine, and they could only sell 400 sodas.
What? That's an interesting story. I didn't know that. But, you know, yeah. I think about those things myself, Ivan. When I contemplate my own success, and I, you know, I'm like any other small business owner, just like you. You know, I run my flag up the flagpole and see if anybody salutes it, and you give it your best shot. And sometimes people say yes, and sometimes they say no. And even though I'm not going to say it doesn't sting a little bit when something doesn't work out, or when people say that they refuse to accept your offer or whatever, I do say to myself, well, you know what? This doesn't mean it's not a good idea. I need to take what they said. I need to pay attention to what was said to me and make sure that I'm not missing something, that I'm not just, you know, glossing over something. And I need to take their rejection and make some value out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Hopefully that's what these other guys do. Because, you know, you're talking about Dr. Seuss and maybe the guy with MASH. Maybe in the first two or three visits that they had, maybe there was something that wasn't quite right, and these guys went back and made a few adjustments, and so ultimately, you know, they improved their product, and that's one of the ways that I like to learn from failures.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That is the way you learn from failures, is to, you know, redesign what you're doing or retool it in some way and put out something better. Or, you know, sometimes what you've got isn't working at all, and you have to come up with a different idea.
Right.
The problem is that many people let their failures define who they are, rather than let the failure define what they're trying to be.
Well, yeah, and the thing is the other thing I think people forget that are, or they just don't realize, Ivan, is there are a lot of people in this world. There are a lot of people in the United States, almost 300 million people, just because some one person said no, or maybe 20 people said no, there's a lot of people left that might say yes. That's the thing that I keep
by Dr. Seuss's example.
Yeah,
no doubt about it.
Exactly. And you know, one of the things I actually have this in my stationery. I have this list of things in my stationery in my email, Ivan. And whenever I need to go back and sort of pump myself up a little bit, if I'm ever feeling a little bit down or you know, feeling like I've been harmed in some way or by somebody else, I go back and I read what happened to Abraham Lincoln. Folks, he failed in business in 31. He was defeated for state legislature in 32. He tried another business in 33. It failed. His fiance died in 35. He had a nervous breakdown in 36. Who could blame him? And on and on and on. Failure after failure after failure, until ultimately he was elected president of the United States. With 10 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
We skip the life and the...
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and guess what, folks? We're talking about success by talking about failure with our good friend Dr. Ivan Meisner, the co-author, along with a bunch of other folks, of a book called Masters of Success, Proven Techniques for Achieving Success in Business and Life. Ivan, tell us where the book's available.
Books available at most major bookstores, including Barnes & Noble and Borders. It's also available at Amazon.com. And if you go to mastersofsuccess.biz, B-I-Z, you're able to get additional information on the book and, of course, order it there.
Sounds good. And folks, there are a lot of great stories that were contributed to this book that of people who talked about their perspectives on success, and maybe their own or people that they knew about. And you know, failure and adversity are both the fire that hardens our ability to become successful, isn't it, Ivan?
Yeah, it really is. You know, I think the way we deal with adversity says a lot about who we are and our commitment to what we're trying to achieve.
You know, the thing that I keep thinking of, the story that I contributed to your book is about a guy named Dave Longaberger. Mm-hmm. And you know, Dave was learning disabled. He had epilepsy. He was dyslexic, I think, as I remember. And it took him. He was 21 before he graduated from high school. And who would have thought that a guy like that would have wound up building an almost billion-dollar a year company that sold nothing but baskets.
Yeah.
But he did that.
Yeah, it's an incredible story.
I mean, who would have thought about it? I mean, would any of us have invested in that guy?
Probably not.
Probably not, because he was totally. But he just kept going. And to me, those are the kinds of stories that inspire me, Ivan. Whenever I feel like whenever I feel like having a little bit of a pity party for myself, I go read about people like Dave Longaberger and Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, and those stories are powerful because they show us what people are really capable of when they put their mind to something.
It also shows us, Ivan, I think, what could be around the next corner, the next phone call, the next sunrise. The next day could change everything, couldn't it?
Yeah, it could. You know, there's a great piece in the book by Aaron Brockovich talking about how we deal with challenges in our life, and I think that's a real important piece. And Brockovich says, look, you know, if things are going bad for you, stop complaining or feeling sorry for yourself about what you don't have. Instead, ask yourself what you truly want. And she talks about the way that we talk to ourselves being very important, self-questioning being very powerful, rather than asking, you know, why me? Why can't I have what I'm looking for? Ask, how do I solve the challenge? How do I reach the goals and aspirations that I have in life? The truth is, it doesn't do any good. Have you ever gone to a mixer or a business meeting and asked somebody how's business, and they start complaining about how bad things are? Have you ever had that?
Sometimes, but not too many times.
You know, I ask a lot of business people, and they run into that a lot. You know, how are things going? And people start complaining about how bad business is. It doesn't do any good to complain to people about how bad things are going, because half the people you tell don't care, and the other half are glad that you're worse off than they are.
Exactly. They actually kind of like hearing it. Well, the thing is that you mentioned about the way we talk to ourselves. We also have to be very careful about avoiding the toxic talk, don't we?
Yes. Yeah, it doesn't do any good. You know, as a matter of fact, there's a lot of studies that have been done over the years, and I don't have this in the book, but I know that there are a lot of studies that have been done over the years that, you know, that kind of talk and what you plant in your subconscious mind oftentimes determines your action.
It's self-fulfilling almost, isn't it? It can be self-fulfilling.
Yeah. I think that one of the first people to talk about that was Maxwell Maltz in an old book called Psycho-Cybernetics. I don't know if you ever read that.
No, I haven't.
Well, he talks about the servo mechanism of the mind. Wow, this is taking me back like 30 years. My high school football coach had us read this. He talks about what you place in your mind is what you carry out. Have you ever seen one of the Olympic athletes?
Mm-hmm.
I remember the first time I saw it was a downhill skier
who
was doing the run in his mind before he went down the hill. And you could see his head bobbing back and forth. You ever seen that?
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. And that's right out of psycho-cybernetics, that what you plant in your subconscious affects how you actually act. And that kind of toxic talk, as you called it, can actually affect your behavior.
Well, exactly. And the thing is, it doesn't mean to be naive about things. If there are challenges, you have to imagine those too. You have to deal with those too. But at least you need to tell yourself how you're going to solve those challenges, not defeat yourself before they even happen. Ivan Meisner, give us your website one more time, please.
www.bni.com. It stands for Business Network International. And then the book is mastersofsuccess.biz.
Check that out when you get a chance, folks. It's a good book, Masters of Success. And Ivan, anything Ivan does is top shelf. Thanks, Ivan. Have a good one.
Thank you, Jim.
See you later.
Bye.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.